Healthcare is all about keeping your baby healthy. While surgery in utero is a delicate undertaking, there are exciting advancements and innovations in fetal healthcare. And today we're talking with a leading expert in fetal intervention surgery, Dr. Eamon Chaban. Dr. Chaban is director of the Chicago Institute for Fetal Health at Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. This is Precision, Perspectives on Children's Surgery, the podcast from Lurie Children's Hospital. I'm Amanda Wild. And Dr. Chaban, thank you so much for being here and taking the time. Can you please describe your role at Lurie Children's?
Yeah, I am Eamon Chaban. I'm the director of Chicago Institute for Fetal Health at Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. I oversee the care and surgery before birth for mothers with complicated pregnancies.
And how did you get interested in this specialty of fetal health?
Yeah, you know, I was a young surgeon in training many years ago, and I encountered a fetal surgeon who, at first, I didn't really understand what he was doing or why, but it was curious. And then as I learned more, I just was completely overwhelmed with the possibilities of treating disease at its origins before birth. And since that time, I've never looked back.
I can't imagine the intricacies involved in that surgery. Have you seen advancements since you first got interested in this field?
Yes. 25 years ago, when I first started to learn about this field, we were doing procedures that were big, large, invasive procedures that required risks from the mother and for the baby for life-threatening diseases. And since that time, the procedures we are doing now have advanced dramatically, and the risks to the mother are much less, and the benefits to the baby are much better. And that risk-benefit balance has really improved over the last 25, 30 years of care.
How long has fetal intervention surgery even been possible?
The origins of fetal intervention go back to probably 50 years. The first interventions were done actually under x-ray, if you can imagine, and then really turned on with the advent of ultrasound back in the early 70s. Those procedures improved in terms of their range or breadth of offerings as ultrasound became better over the years.
And what are some of the common fetal intervention procedures that you do today? What conditions do you operate on?
The most common operations that we do currently involve treatment of diseases of twins. Twins that actually are a special type, they share a placenta. That's called a monochorionic twinning, where the placenta is shared between two twins. That's the most common type. Other types of surgeries that we do that are also common are treatment of spina bifida before birth and treatment of congenital diaphragmatic hernia before birth.
So what is your process for making a treatment plan for a newly diagnosed pregnant patient?
The treatment of the pregnant patient or surgery on the pregnant patient is complex. There's really very little like it in medicine. It's a situation where you have two patients, sometimes even three or four patients that you're operating on. In these cases, the patient who actually is undergoing the procedure or the surgery, in this case, the mom, she takes all the risk for the procedure and the benefits are to the babies. So there's really nothing like it in medicine. Perhaps the situation of a patient who is a donor for an organ transplantation that may donate their liver, they take on risk for another patient in another room, usually a related patient, to receive the organ transplantation. So that process is complex. It has clinical, physical, medical concerns, as well as ethical concerns in that process. And so the actual start-to-finish care pathway for these mothers is complex. It requires lots of counseling, understanding, education, and eventually decision-making and execution of the care. So that's the typical process. And in some situations, we have lots of time to discuss because the procedures are more elective. In other situations, the procedures are urgent and require care sometimes urgently within the same day. And that's a little bit more challenging to try and reach the right answer for each patient individually.
Can you talk a little bit about what fetal intervention surgery looks like, what the team is in the OR, who's on the case, how long does it take, what are the things that can go wrong, and how do you deal with those eventualities? How do you keep the mother and fetus safe?
Each of these cases, there is a mother and a fetus, so we call it the dyad, and the treatment is surrounded around the care of both. There will always be an anesthesiologist for the mother, but there will also be an anesthesiologist for the baby. Sometimes these are in a hybrid, something called a fetal anesthesiologist. The care team in the actual surgery involves a specialist in maternal fetal medicine, pediatric surgery or fetal surgery, and usually a cardiologist or other support team members actually in the operating room, depending on the specialty that is needed. And then the operating room usually is set up in a way where there is available care for both the mother and the baby. These hybrid ORs are not typically part of the structure of most healthcare institutions. Most healthcare institutions have operating rooms for mothers and operating rooms for babies. Here we have to have the capabilities of both together. And then very important, we have to have a neonatology team, the baby doctors that are available and present sometimes are needed during the procedure. So that's the composition of the operating room in general. Usually it's somewhere between 20 to as many as 50 individuals in the room caring for the patient or on standby for the care of the patient.
Wow, that's beyond calling it multidisciplinary, it seems to me. That's a huge team.
It's a big team, and we work together routinely, and it has to be very well rehearsed and very well executed. And every day, I'm very thankful for the team that we have and their commitment to ensuring a safe environment for the care of our patients.
How do you know when you're doing this procedure that it's successful?
In some cases, the procedure is done for life-threatening circumstances for the babies. We can't physically examine the babies. I can't put my hands directly on them to listen to their hearts and take their temperature. But we use a non-invasive instrumentation like ultrasound and MRI and echocardiograms to look at the babies physiologically and understand that how they are doing. So if we are doing a procedure, we can sometimes see real-time improvements in the physiology as measured by these sort of non-invasive imaging techniques. Long-term, some of the changes that result from the operation can be seen in the changes in the anatomy or changes in growth of the babies, depending on the disease process that we're treating.
So for the mom and the fetus, what is recovery from the procedure typically like?
So sometimes the procedures are minimally invasive or they're done by needles and ultrasounds, something similar to an amniocentesis. Those procedures are done in a more of an ambulatory setting in the outpatient clinic in a special procedure room or the operating room with the intent that the mother goes home the same day after the procedure. And her life and her activities afterwards may be somewhat limited, but usually are not terribly disturbed. Other procedures are done in a minimally invasive way, but require a larger sort of needle-type instrumentation, something called a fetoscope, to be positioned or placed into the uterine cavity. Those are done under local anesthetics, typically, in the operating room, and we usually require an overnight stay for the mother. Usually they have some limitations for the first few weeks after the operation, but then fully get back into their usual routine. Other operations are more invasive and require either more than one access point to actually go into the uterus, to actually do more work inside, more complex work, like, for example, the repair of something called spina bifida. In that type of a procedure, the mother is in the hospital admitted after the operation for 5 days, and she has limitations when she goes home for a couple of weeks that are pretty strict, but after that, we slowly let her get back into her usual routine.
And during the recovery time, does the fetus continue gestating?
Yep, the fetus continues to grow, and all the systems are hopefully functioning quite well for the baby or babies can continue to grow and mature. The critical aspect of what we do in fetal intervention is to try and preserve that and not disrupt that as much as possible. The mother is always the most important patient in the room, without question. Her care, her health, it is job one, without question. Then the procedures that we do must be in concert with that, as well as the support of the baby and support of the placenta. Placenta has to function, has to provide oxygen and nutrition for the baby, and that function can't be compromised by the operation.
Can you talk a little bit about the training you've had to do that makes you an expert in doing these procedures?
And the word expert, it's an interesting one. I think of myself as a continuous student of this field. I've been doing this for 25 years, even more than that. And I trained in medical school and residency in general surgery and research in pediatric and then eventually fetal surgery for upwards of 15 years before I started practicing as a fetal surgeon. This process has been one that I've continued to learn since that time, and every case, every operation, every patient that we see is another learning opportunity.
You have seen fetal intervention procedures advance from over 20 years back. So thinking ahead, what do you think the future holds for fetal health advancements?
I think in order to really make advancements, we need to lessen the burden and the risks for the patient, the mom. We know that the mothers will do anything for their babies, and the procedures that we design in the future need to account for that, that they are asked to do less and less. Additionally, as we advance in this area, we'll try to treat diseases that are not just limited to surgical manipulations or surgical anatomical corrections. Ideally, the correction of diseases of cellular function, such as diseases behind sickle cell disease or thalassemia. Or genetic diseases in which the correction of a gene in utero can create a lifetime of disease amelioration. Those are the targets for our research and advancement of care. And as we improve in those areas, and those treatments are coming online in the coming years, we will really start to move the needle in fetal health care and reduce disease for a wider variety of patients with less complications and less risk for the mother.
Well, in that case, I look forward to a future conversation about those advances. But meantime, thank you, Doctor, for your insights today and your valuable work tomorrow.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss it with you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. For appointment information, visit www.lurichildrens.org/fetal health or call 1-800-KIDS-DOC. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out the full podcast library. This is Precision, Perspectives on Children's Surgery, the podcast from Lurie Children's Hospital. I'm Amanda Wild. Be well.